All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 tonight. And we'll continue where we left off last week. We are studying the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And we have come now to the ascension of our Savior, and we are told in verse 9 that when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. All right, so a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, as I said last week, I don't think that this cloud is mentioned by accident. I think that there is, if you follow the Shekinah throughout the Scripture, it's obvious that this, in all probability, 99.9%, it does not say it was the Shekinah, but I think it was. Personally, and it says that a cloud received him. All right. Now, I don't think that cloud was just there by chance. I think it was there by design. And I don't think that there was a storm out in the Mediterranean and it just happened to, blow a cloud over Jerusalem and over the Mount of Olives the right time for the Lord Jesus to ascend to heaven in it. I don't think that happened at all. I think that it was by design. It was on purpose. And so we are looking at this first chapter, and in doing so, we are, I'm trying to explain to you why Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, remember Luke wrote two books. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts, the history book of the New Testament. And I'm pointing out to you why I think Luke went into such great detail in describing for us the ascension of our Savior back to heaven. Why put all this emphasis that he puts in this first chapter on that subject? Why make such a big deal of it? Well, why did John, the Apostle John, stress the matter of them seeing him with their eyes and touching him with their hands and hearing the words that he had to say to them? Why did John go into all that? Well, the whole idea is to make sure that you and I understand that our Savior was real. All right? He was real. He was God. Yet he was man. He was God in the flesh. That's the whole idea about John's works, about John's books, presenting to us and showing us that the Lord Jesus was God, but yet he was man. And so why go into all this detail? Why was it so important to emphasize for us all that that the Lord showed the disciples concerning the ascension of our Savior back to heaven? Well, if you remember last week, I said the first reason why it was necessary is so that there would be absolutely no doubt. It needs to be settled in the mind and in the heart of every believer that the necessity for the Lord Jesus to resurrect from the dead, just as he said. All right, so when you get to this first chapter of Acts, you have a resurrected Savior. He's resurrected. Several verses of all the Gospels deal with the fact that our Savior went to the cross. He died on that cross. They took him down from the cross, wrapped him in grave clothes, swaddling clothes, and then they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And then they rolled the stone in front of it. And they went to great detail to prove to us and to show us that the Lord Jesus did indeed die on Calvary's cross. And then the emphasis is that in 3 days, he came out of that grave, alive and well. So there could be no doubt whatsoever that the resurrection happened, that it was real, and these disciples had to have that understanding and that knowledge of the resurrection if they're going to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so don't forget, in chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses, all right, witnesses unto me. So what is the cornerstone of the gospel? Well, it's the resurrection, amen. All right? It's the resurrection. And what's interesting is when you start reading the book of Acts and you start hearing the messages that Peter preached and that Paul preached and the others, every message is a message that contains teaching and preaching on the fact that the Lord Jesus resurrected from the grave. So it was to eliminate any doubt or any question in the minds of the disciples. All right, now, second thing, I just mentioned this one and then we ran out of time. So secondly, I said to you last week, there was the giving of full and final instruction. Why make such a big deal out of the disciples gathering here? Make a big deal out of the command to take the gospel into all the world and be a witness for the Lord. Why go into all that? Well, second reason was the giving of full and final instruction to his disciples. His servants, his disciples, need to know. And by the way, so do we. We need to know what our responsibility is when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we got saved. Thank the Lord. God spoke to our hearts. We were in the pit, so to speak, and the Lord, in his grace and mercy, reached down into the pit and lifted us out. And he set our feet upon the rock and he put a new song in our hearts and on our lips, even praise to his name. So what are we supposed to do with this salvation that he gives us? Well, our responsibility is the same as was given to these disciples here in chapter 1. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So right there is our responsibility. And we need to understand these instructions. All right? We need this. I have no doubt but what the disciples, when all of this was happening, I have no doubt that they were a little confused about, okay, what now? You know, what now? What do we do now? And, you know, talk of the kingdom was something that they were all very familiar with, all right? They knew their Old Testament scriptures, and they knew that the Old Testament scriptures spoke often about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And so it was something they were very, very familiar with. The Lord Jesus often spoke of the kingdom of God, and usually they were blended into the conversation as if to say that they were to surely have a part in that kingdom. I think every one of them realized and recognized that the Lord had something special for them in this kingdom that he spoke about. You see, the Old Testament prophets had often spoken of a coming kingdom, and they had described that kingdom in glowing and glorious terms. The truth is, folks, the kingdom of God was one of the major themes of the Old Testament scriptures. It's throughout the Old Testament. All right, now look at verse 6 of this first chapter. Look at verse 6. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, of Christ, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Now, why did they ask that question? Well, they asked that question because, if you'll remember, back in 586, I believe it was, the Babylonians came. Remember that? And boy, they Nebuchadnezzar, they knocked the walls of the city down. They took 10,000 young people. They stole everything they could get their hands on and carried it back. They raided the temple, and they took all of the accessories for the temple and just carried them back to Babylon with them. And you remember, as a matter of fact, when Belshazzar was having that feast, and the hand of God came and wrote on the wall, and basically told him that he was living on borrowed time. I mean, and granted, he was. That night, that next morning, they were all destroyed. All right. And they brought Daniel out, and they said, "Can you tell us what this says?" And he said, "Sure." And he told them what it said. Well, what made God so angry? Well, one of the things that angered him was the fact that Belshazzar, the king, called for all of the instruments of the temple be brought out, and they used the cups and the bowls to serve their liquor in, and blasphemed God. And so, sure enough, boy, while they were in there having the party of their lives, the Medes and Persians were coming under the river, getting ready to wipe them off the face of the earth. So the point is, folks, that kingdom had been out of Israel's hands for a long time, several hundred years. And so now the disciples, they're under not Babylonian control. No, that went to the Medes and the Persians. But that didn't last long. Then the Greeks came in. But that lasted a little longer than the others. But then came the Romans. And right now, when this was penned, it was the mighty Roman Empire that was ruling and reigning in God's land, in Israel. And so in verse 6, they're saying, Lord, now is now when you're going to establish the kingdom? Is now when you're going to make Israel its own nation again, and you're going to deliver Israel from Roman bondage? Is now, Lord, is now the time? Well, it wasn't the time. It wasn't the time. And the Lord Jesus said, if you'll look at verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, what if it was? I mean, what if it was? They weren't ready. They weren't ready. They certainly were not ready. The Lord Jesus was leaving. He was leaving. He was about to ascend to heaven. And so they would be standing there watching their Lord go up and take a seat at the right hand of God the Father. So it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. And that is a specific date when this is going to happen. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so it was not the time. It was not the time right then. The kingdom was on their minds and it was on their hearts, and they wanted to know what the plan was. Lord, what's the plan? What are we to look for here? All right, so they were wanting to know when the Lord was going to do what the Old Testament had said was coming, which was a kingdom. So the kingdom was on their hearts. But what did the risen Christ do? Don't forget, folks, the Lord knew what they were thinking. And so he began to instruct them and tell them how they fit into the plan. Now, there are three primary things that they needed instruction about. And that's what's discussed here in the first chapter. All right? First, the disciples had noticed they had an erroneous conception of the nature of the kingdom. They got so far ahead of the game. All right? They got so far ahead of the game. They did not see the church age. They did not see what we refer to as the day of grace. All right? The age of grace. Well, that's what we're in now. We're in the day of grace. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God has not dealt with us in wrath like he did so much of in the Old Testament. Man, we'd be gone a long time ago, I think. You know, I mean, I think the first time that the LGBTQ or LST, whatever they are, I think the first time that they had a parade down Michigan Avenue in Chicago, that would have been it. I mean, that would have been it. Boom. If we were still living under Old Testament wrath. All right, but thank God we're under New Testament grace now. And they didn't see that. The disciples did not see that. All they wanted was deliverance from Rome. And they knew they had a part in the kingdom. They were excited about that. All right, you remember they're sitting there after the resurrection, and they look over and say, well, Lord, let me ask you a question. What's he going to do during the kingdom? And the Lord Jesus said, listen, if he stays alive until the kingdom is founded, that's basically what he's saying. If he stayed alive until I come back and establish the kingdom, what's that to you? All right? What is that to you? You don't worry about what he's going to do. You need to worry about what you ought to do. Amen. And that's exactly what the disciples needed to hear, because number one, they had an erroneous conception of the nature of the kingdom. You see, they thought that the kingdom, they understood that the kingdom that was going to be a physical, earthly kingdom. They basically thought that the Lord was going to establish his millennial kingdom on the earth right then and right there in Acts chapter 1. That's what they were hoping for. But they needed to see that it was not yet a physical kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom that he had been talking about. Those of us who have trusted Christ, we are the sons of God. We are his and he is ours. And so we are in the kingdom of God if we're saved. All right, but they misunderstood and they got ahead of themselves. Secondly, they needed to learn that the kingdom was yet to be established. Was Jesus going to lead an army against Rome? Well, if that's the case, he's only got 120 people at his disposal right now. All right? And I think the Romans were a little bit better equipped than that. All right? So was he going to lead an army against Rome? No. No. Was he going to take Israel back from Roman grip by force? No. No, that was never the plan. All right? So they needed to learn how the kingdom it was to be established. Now, folks, listen. A kingdom has to have a king, right? And then a kingdom has to have loyal subjects, right? And then a kingdom has to have people over which that king and the loyal subjects reign. All right? And that will be those who survive the tribulation period, and then those who reproduce and are born during the millennial reign. They then will have a choice. And so what they did was they just missed the whole church age. But you see, a kingdom has to have a king. And that's what the Lord is. He's the king. He's the one coming back to establish the kingdom. But there must be loyal subjects. Don't forget, you and I are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Let's see the Democrats beat that plan. I don't think they can. No. And so we're going to rule and reign with him. And so what are we to do? We're to go out and get folks saved who can rule and reign with him during that millennium. All right? We are kingdom builders ourselves by leading others to Christ. Does that make sense to you? Third, the disciples erred thirdly concerning the time for setting up the kingdom. They said, Lord, wilt thou at this time? Well, if you know your Bible, you know that the kingdom is not established until after the tribulation period. I mean, you know, after the Lord Jesus and all the redeemed return to destroy the Antichrist and his armies at the Battle of Armageddon. All right, so the first thing is they just had this misunderstanding. They knew there was going to be a kingdom, but they misunderstood three things. They misunderstood that right now it's soul winning time. It's building time. Right now, we are to build a kingdom by our witness, convincing, drawing folks to the Lord by sharing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can remember my dad coming home from work, and he would have one of those little comic book, those little chick tracks in his pocket. And I remember my brother saying, "Where'd you get that?" And Dad pulled it out of his pocket and kind of tossed it at Mike, my brother. And Dad said, "Oh, your mother puts those in my lunchbox." And Mom would just smile. And he held it up, and he had Mike hold it up. He said, "Yeah, that's the one. That one's good," he said. "That one's good." He liked them. And I think they had a role in softening his heart. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it started out with just gospel tracts. And he would bring those home still in the bag, still in the lunch pail, unread, it looked like. But then she graduated from God's Simple Plan of Salvation to the chick tracts, all right? And Dad would come home with those in his pocket. So we knew he was reading them. Yeah. And that's how faith comes. People ask me all the time, "How do I win my husband?" Or, "How do I win my wife?" Well, here's the way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can remember Mom sitting down after dinner and opening the Bible, and I thought, "Oh, here we go. Preaching time." I know women aren't supposed to preach, but man, could she preach to us right there at the table. And she started reading the Bible. And you know where she'd read from? She'd read from Romans 3, Romans 5, Romans 10, 1 Corinthians 15. She'd read down till she saw the little paragraphs thing in the verses, and then she'd stop. She'd say, "Anybody have anything you want to say about that?" And I would go, "Oh, if one of you speaks, I'm going to kick you under the table so hard." But my brother would inevitably speak up, inevitably. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, Mike, the more you talk, the more she's going to talk." And sure enough, boy, and my dad would just sit there and listen. So he was getting the word. But wait a minute, so was I. So was I. Only problem was she didn't put chick tracks in my lunch. I didn't take a lunch, you know. Back in that day, I hate to tell you this, but me and a couple others, we went and stole our lunch. Yeah. We would steal lunch every day. We didn't care. See, when you're not saved, But mom would sit there and read that Bible. Oh, man. And it would just tear me up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Of course, telling her don't do that was like lighting fire to a gas can. I mean, it just cranked her up. All right? So, first, the disciples had an erroneous conception of the nature of the kingdom. Secondly, now get this. These disciples needed to understand their mission, their part, their responsibility in that kingdom. They needed to know. Folks, don't we all need to know that? Yeah, we do. And I that's one of the things about fundamental Baptist churches is that need is preached on. Now, there's some folks don't like it, especially nowadays. They don't want to be responsible for anything. But we all have a responsibility. So they needed to understand what was their responsibility in order to get the job done. All right? And so they needed to know what they were to do and then understand how they were to proceed with their responsibility. You see, it was to this task that the Lord Jesus devoted the bulk of that 40-day period from the resurrection to the ascension, all right? That was a 40-day period, remember. And that is one of the main things that the Lord Jesus worked to establish, was the fact that they had a job to do. From the resurrection to the ascension, the Lord Jesus drilled that plan into these men. All right, now look at this first part here. All right, let me show you what I mean, and then we'll go from there. Our time's almost gone, but here's what I mean. Listen. The first thing he did here, all right, here in this, in Luke's understanding of what was about to happen, he assigned them a temporary task. Now, I had never thought of this before, but as I was thinking about it and preparing this, it just kind of jumped off the page. You see, after his ascension, all right, and you'll see that ascension in verse 9 and 10, all right. So after that, the disciples were told that they were to go back to the upper room, and they were to what? Tarry for 10 days. 10 days. They were to go back to Jerusalem and go into the upper room where they had just celebrated the Passover with the Lord Jesus on the eve of the crucifixion. They had the Passover meal with the Savior. And so they were to go back to that upper room. And they were then to wait for 10 days with the promise that the instruction and the power necessary to accomplish what he wanted them to do would surely be given to them. But they had to go and tarry. Now, I bet that was difficult for them. Number one, surely word had gotten out that Jesus was alive. I mean, we already learned from 1 Corinthians 15, he was seen by this group and that group, and then by these folks, and then those folks, and then 500 at one time. So certainly word had gotten around. And now they're in the exact same spot where they were with the Lord just before he was arrested. They would leave that upper room, walk across Jerusalem, go down into the Kidron Valley, and then up to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where our Savior was arrested. All right, so now they're going back to the place, the last place, where they spent time with the Lord before the cross. I'm sure they were sitting there thinking, oh man, somebody's going to come charging through this door. You wait and see. But the Lord said what? Tarry. He said pray. So that's what they did. And it's a good thing they did, wasn't it? All right, what were they to wait for? What were they to pray about? They were to pray so that the power to carry out the instructions that they were given would fall upon them. They needed that power. Folks, without that power, I'll guarantee you that within just a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month at best, they would have all just given up and went back to their fishing boats. Matthew would have went back to the tax collecting. I mean, without the power, what are they going to accomplish? So the Lord said, you go wait. You go wait. Do you think the wind will blow? Huh? I think it will. All right, everybody understand that? So he assigned them a temporary task. Now, wait a minute, folks. You get a little light, better walk in it. Because had they not gone back to the upper room and stayed there, if they had disbanded, there would have been no Pentecost. There would have been no power. So you walk in the light that you've been given. And when you do, more light follows. Do you see that? And boy, they need that instruction. And they needed that power. So, as they walked up the Mount of Olives for the Lord to ascend into heaven, the Lord Jesus gave his plan to them. What is it? Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. All right. Ye shall be witnesses. Where? All right. Jerusalem. That's hometown. By the way, who lived in Jerusalem? What people? Not complicated. It's not a trick question. Jews. Exactly. All right. So you start in Jerusalem. Who lived there? Jews. And then you go to all Judea. All right. Who lived there? More Jews. All right? And then you go to Samaria. All right? Who were the Samaritans? Half Jews. Hey, don't forget, to the Jew first, and then look at your last one. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. To the Jew first, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Isn't that cool? I had not seen that either until the other day. Isn't that awesome, though? Start in Jerusalem. Start in Jerusalem. And then Judea, more Jews. And then Samaria, half Jews. Well, there's no nation that's quarter. All right? So you go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the task. That's the task. All right? Okay. Well, we'll stop right there. And we'll pick it up there next week. And so let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless what we've heard. Father, thank you now for our time together in your word this evening. And Father in heaven, we rejoice in your blessing. Oh my, what a book this is. We can never exhaust it. We can never get to the place where we don't learn. We always are learning when we're reading your word. And so Father, instruct our hearts tonight. Burden us with the task. Burden our hearts with the responsibility that we have to get our Jerusalem the message and our Judea the message. And so, Father, give us boldness. I pray you'll help us to look to your Holy Spirit for power and blessing. And then use us, Lord, to spread your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.